This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
This is The Fantasy Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
And we welcome you to a podcasted edition of The Fantasy Show for Week 16 in the National Football League. It is Championship Week in Fantasy, and we are gathered together on Friday afternoon at 12:20. I am out of all of my leagues. Dan Riccio and Josh Goldberg, are you guys alive in any of your leagues?
I am not.
Oh, no.
I've got one.
Oh, okay.
We're not completely useless.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah. People are listening. Why are these guys doing a fantasy show?
But we went over some predictions earlier in the week, and we didn't whiff as much as some might have thought.
No, and what we're going to do is, starting in the next couple of weeks, we're going to pretty much go back on each position and find out what happened, what were the trends, and I'm going to go back through each of our preview shows, and I'm going to gather pretty much the best and worst of what we predicted. And I've gone through quarterback and wide receiver so far, quarterback and running back, and I've actually been pleasantly surprised with how many things we have hit. We have missed on a few things.
Oh, yeah. Well, even a broken clock's right twice a day, right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. Yeah. So, look. A lot of Kirk Cousins. I won't get into it too much, but
he was really upsetting last week.
Yeah. He single-handedly cost me both my leagues.
Yeah.
I finished first, quick story, finished first in both leagues, got a bye in both leagues, right to the semis. And in one league, I had the worst week of the season for me. And in the other league, it was close, but Cousins killed me. And Cousins was probably, of all the fantasy players in week 15, you could probably make a case he was the most disappointing of anyone in fantasy football last week.
Yeah.
Roto-World had him as the number one QB for the week.
Yeah. I was pretty high on him.
Yep.
And he was terrible.
I will say, my fantasy forgetful moment of last week, it was more upsetting mainly because I was actually on it, but late last week, I got on Drew Brees for DFS, and for whatever reason, I decided to play, because I wanted to try and fit other things in my lineup, but I made a late switch off of Devonta Freeman and Brandon Cooks.
Oh, no.
So, although it was still a profitable week, DFS-wise for myself, it could have been much, much better.
So
that hurt.
And I think a lot of people got off Ty Montgomery because it was supposed to
not
be.
Not you.
Not you.
No. Not me, although no. I didn't win the. We didn't have a DFS league.
Somebody.
Jeff
I probably would have won it, let's be honest.
I think I only would have had like 130 points.
Yeah, I had a stinky
week. I was up near 170 with that Drew Brees lineup.
But like the Sharps, if we want to call them that.
What could have been?
Ty Montgomery's battled sickle cell for the last little bit, and if you research what sickle cell is, apparently it gets really bad when it's really cold outside. So I think a lot of people either Saturday or Sunday figured out that they were just going to pivot off of Ty Montgomery, and he had like a top three fantasy week in week 15. Speaking of DFS, by the way, since we're here on Friday afternoon, it just so happens that Rob Wong, who is our DFS expert, is doing updates on The Fan and 680 News, and he is joining us right now to kick off the show to talk some DFS for week 16. What's up, Rob?
Not too much, gentlemen. The speed's getting up at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, I can tell you that. I know you guys have to get in earlier, but it's a rough wake up. I mean, it's weird saying that because, we've all done early morning shifts here at the radio station, so it's nothing new, but
especially when you're like staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch UFC 700,
You always send us your favorite players of the week at like 2:30 in the morning.
We always
talk about this on the show. Yeah. So, anyways, we won't have to do that on Sunday because it's Christmas and we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays and all that good stuff. So, Rob has sent in his favorite Week 16 plays, and oh my God, look at his quarterback list. Look at the last name, right? He's got
There's two names on there that would not have been thought of maybe one of them.
And this is
one name, certainly.
This is the best part about fantasy because it's so unpredictable, and here we are, Championship Week. People are going to be riding Todd Gurley to no end against San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, you didn't make the final if you had Todd Gurley.
Maybe. And Rob likes Matt Barkley this week, and Rob likes Blake Bortles this week, Rob.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, one thing I like to do on this segment is try to give people, you know, some plays that, you know, maybe go under the radar. And I know you guys talk about it during the show as well. You kind of uncover every rock in this week. I mean, as with every week, quarterbacks, there's always a lot of depth. And Matt Barkley in a great spot, obviously going up against Washington on a short week. The Redskins 24th in pass DVOA. And Barkley's looked pretty good. I mean, in his game so far this year. So he's got all his weapons and Alshon Jeffrey, Jordan Howard, and Cam Meredith. So I think he's primed for a pretty good day at home this week. And Blake Bortles is really just a pivot off Barkley, and he's another, you know, dirt cheap guy. And if there was ever a matchup that Blake Bortles would be able to succeed in, it's got to be this one at home against the awful Titans pass defense. So those are two of the min price guys that I like this week. But if you're going to pay up a little bit, Phillip Rivers playing Cleveland, enough said there. And Matt Ryan in a high total game going up against Carolina. We saw what Ryan did against them earlier this year. He's not going to throw for 500 yards again, but Julio Jones might be back this week, so that's pretty good. And that's got sneaky shootout potential. So those are four guys that I'm looking at this week. Not going to use all of them, I think, but I think they're all interesting options.
All right, let's look at running backs here. I find DeMarco Murray very interesting because I think the last three, 4 weeks, we have seen the rookie Derrick Henry get close to about 10 touches a game, and he's getting some goal line work as well. Now, there's nothing to suggest DeMarco Murray isn't going to get into the 20s in terms of touches, but I guess if you're not going to be paying up for Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson and LeSean McCoy, who's probably going to be chalked this week, you like DeMarco in week 16.
Yeah, I think he's kind of sneaky because he is, you know, kind of priced up near some of the higher guys. His price has come down a little bit from where it was earlier in the season. And I know the Derrick Henry thing is scaring off a lot of people. And same with Mike Gillisley on LeSean McCoy. But you look at Murray and you look at McCoy, they continue to produce numbers. I mean, you look at last week and Murray with 18 carries, he had six targets as well. So has a good matchup, should be in positive game flow going up against Jacksonville. So I think he's in another strong spot. Bilal Powell is getting just a tons of helium this week heading into the game against the New England Patriots. The Jets should get clobbered in this one. They'll be playing from behind quite a bit. But you look at the targets that Powell has been getting, and Matt Forte most likely going to be inactive for this weekend's game. It's going to be all Powell all the day. So I think even just in full PPR sites, I mean, he's going to be a huge boon for the running back position. And Latavius Murray, I think, is another sneaky guy. Hurt a lot of people last week with his two fumbles, but he gets a primo matchup going up against that awful Colts run defense. He's at home. I wouldn't trust him in cash necessarily because DeAndre Washington is always looming over him, but I do like his upside for tournaments.
I should say Rob is joining us right now from the update chair, and around you it sounds like there's a holiday party going on. Can you tell everyone that you're live on the fantasy show to quiet down?
I would like to, but there's a lot of people here that I'm outnumbered, and I'm fearing for my life.
Rob doesn't want to tell Scott Moore to do anything. That's right. Basically what he's saying right now.
And we actually have a little indoor mini putt thing where Rob, and they've put it right behind where the sportscaster chair is. So anyways, go ahead.
You have to
Josh.
Wear a helmet sometimes when Jeff Blair is behind there chipping, you know?
Yeah, Blair already dented a couple times. Yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about Latavius Murray, that Oakland Indianapolis game, I would think would probably be one of the highest totals of the week. Has shootout potential written all over it. T.Y. Hilton sort of laid an egg a little bit for people last week. I think he only had two catches for about 50 yards. But you're back on him this week. Are you expecting that game to be lighting up like a Christmas tree on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, last week it was just tough for if you were a Hilton owner. I know you, Josh, you and I played in the semifinals and season long. You had him.
Yeah.
And I recommended him last week, but it's just because the Colts got up so big in that game against the Vikings. They really did not need to throw the ball. But this week should be back and forth against the Raiders, and he matches up well against the bigger Oakland corners in the slot. So I think the target's going to be there once again for Hilton. I really like him. Michael Thomas, if there was ever a receiver in a better spot, I'm not sure I could think of it. Gets to go up against the Buccaneers this week. Should be matched up against Vernon Hargraves for the most part. And if you followed Vernon Hargraves this season, you pretty much know he's the best corner to target in fantasy football. So Thomas should get a lot of targets. Should be a big piece of the red zone work as well. So I think he's in a great spot. And Jordy Nelson, a guy that I keep recommending. And I know he's in a tough matchup this week against the Minnesota Vikings. But you just look at the usage that he keeps getting in this offense with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is looking for him all the time. And his numbers just consistent. I mean, they've been incredible over the last 8 weeks or so, and his price just hasn't moved. So Jordy Nelson, I think you're going to get him at a lower ownership just because of the matchup, but I think he's just as good of a play as some of the really high price guys.
Rob, I want to go off your list for a second because you mentioned Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
How do we not play Allen Robinson then at 4,600K?
I know, man. That's so tough. But and I think he's a solid play. I think, you know, these three guys probably rate a little bit higher on my list. But I would not blame you. I think I'm probably going to have some Bortles Robinson exposure, maybe in some Bortles Robinson league.
I got
maybe
the just thinking
maybe,
of it.
Yeah, maybe the triple stack. I mean, you know, Robinson, like I said with Bortles, if there was ever a matchup that those two guys should succeed in, it's got to be this one. It's pretty much now or never if you're an Allen Robinson, Blake Bortles truther.
Yeah, and then you bring it back with the game stack. Delanie Walker is your tight end, right?
Yeah, I think Delanie Walker is interesting. It really comes down to price for him this week. I think he's just too cheap for the talent that he possesses. He's not in a great matchup against Jacksonville, but I do think he's a strong contrarian tournament play. You know, Marcus Mariota is still looking for him. The other tight ends I like this week, Cameron Brate, going back to the well on that one as well. The guy is really just the number two receiver for the Bucs right now. Mike Evans getting double teamed, triple teamed every week, and it's really opened things up for Brate. So Saints are 25th in DVOA against the tight ends this year, so Brate in another great spot. And going back to that Falcons game, I mean, Greg Olsen is in a prime spot as well. The Falcons just been torched by tight ends over the last 5 weeks, and he's really the only consistent piece of that passing game for Carolina. So those are the three tight ends I like this week.
And Rob likes Patriots, Seahawks, and Chargers DST, and we should also say on one daily fantasy website, Ty Montgomery is no longer a wide receiver. He is a running back, and I believe he is like 5,900 on one of those. So I don't know if both of the big sites have done it, but if you're looking in the wide receiver list for Ty Montgomery and you want to play him, it's because at least on one site he has been flipped over to a running back, and he should be at, I think, what, 15 carries last week and could go bananas again this week. All right, Rob, listen, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Thanks for all your help with the show, and we're going to be live on New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be Dan and I. I'm sure we'll be wide awake with our instruments making noise, our noisemakers. Yeah. Are you going to be awake at 9 o'clock? Should we bother not calling you?
I should be good. I should be all good right. to go. I'll send you guys my picks at probably like 7 a.m., and then we'll roll a couple hours later.
All right, thanks, Rob.
All right, talk to you guys.
All right, there's our DFS expert, Rob Wong, on the Fantasy Show. We are podcasting on this Friday for week 16 in the NFL. Boy, I'm going to have a couple lineups, Josh. Bortles were like, a couple weeks ago, A-Rob was 4,400. I went to the well, and I drowned in that well.
In a shallow well.
I think he had a one-catch game that game.
Yeah.
That's bold, though, I will say. But it's like, there are a lot of really nice, like Cam Meredith is, I like his very price. Cheap, yeah. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is only like 5,200 or something.
I have him in one or two for sure.
The Savage. He's been saved by the Savage.
Well, I mean,
a couple saviors coming around Christmas time. Yeah. Tom Savage is one of them.
Tom Savage learned from the Brian Hoyer School of Quarterbacking. You have one good receiver, target the heck out of him.
Get him the football. Yeah. No.
It's not hard, Brock Osweiler.
Oh, man. All right, so let's get to the Thursday night game. And the Giants didn't play well, even though Eli Manning threw for 356, a touchdown and three picks.
He threw the ball 63 times.
Yeah, he was the prototypical bad Eli on the road performance. Eagles beat the Giants 24-19. Look, I think realistically in championship week, there was one New York Giant you were playing, and it was Odell Beckham, and he went 11 for $1.50. So he rewarded you there, 26 PPR points. He was great. Maybe Rashad Jennings in deeper leagues you were starting, and that was unfortunate, but we wouldn't have sat here and told you to play Rashad Jennings. No. But I didn't see Paul Perkins getting 15 carries as well, so it's like, it's so hard to read these situations. Baltimore, New York, all of these teams with kind of two guys, and you never know who's going to get the bulk of the carries on a week-to-week basis, but there's been a couple of times this season where we've said, oh, wow, Paul Perkins, you know, looked explosive on a couple plays. We wonder if the Giants will give him more of the workload, and then they've just gone back to Rashad Jennings. And last year, Rashad Jennings had a very nice end to the season, and Rashad Jennings has been decent the last couple of weeks. But Philly defense played well last night. So anything on the Giants here? Like, Cruz goes 8 for 84. Sterling Shepard catches the touchdown. I mean, I doubt anyone was really starting those guys in the championship week.
I mean, they kind of are what they are, right? And Shepard, it's weird because he has been very, like, he's got 8 touchdowns now this year. And it's been quiet, though, because he never really puts up big yardage totals. He's kind of like the Dante Moncrief of the New York Giants.
He hasn't had 70 yards yet in the game. It's crazy.
But he's just logging those red zone touches. So, I mean, going into next year, you're pretty excited about him. But as far as any guys you're starting on a week-to-week basis with the Giants, it's only Odell.
Yeah.
Who got 20 targets on Thursday. Targets, yeah. And Shepard got 11 and Victor Cruz got 13. They couldn't really run the ball very much, although Perkins and Jennings didn't have a terrible yards per carry average. But Eli was just, oh, my God.
Bad, yeah.
Just terrible. A
couple of really stinky throws, especially the one that it sealed the game, an interception. Yeah. He is what he is now. Like, maybe top 15 quarterback in a good matchup. You have to hope for multiple touchdowns and not good yardage.
I think next year when we're talking quarterbacks, we're going to have Eli in that same range that we had, like, Matt Ryan in. Where I think Eli this year was kind of like just an outside top 12 guy. And going into the season, Matt Ryan was close to the 20s and the 10s. But that's not to say I think Eli is going to be, like, a top 7 quarterback next year. Because he's just so hit or miss on a week-to-week basis. You hate having guys like that that you need to lean on every week. Yeah. So,
well, he's not great either. Like his deep ball is just not good anymore. You see the passes that Odell takes long distances. They're all short slants that he takes for yards after the catch.
Yeah.
As for the Eagles, Ryan Matthews, a disappointing game. 18 carries for 46 yards. He hurts himself late. He catches one ball for 16 yards, but now he has a herniated disc, so he's going to be out in week 17, which we don't really care for fantasy. But Nelson Agholor drops a ball, then catches the touchdown. Wasn't really a lot here. I think the biggest disappointment is Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz had two targets. And I think he's been leading the NFL in targets the last 4 or 5 weeks. He had two targets in a game. That was pretty close. I mean, the Eagles did rush it 30 times, but that could be a fantasy crusher to get 3 standard points from Zach Ertz.
And it was also surprising because Janoris Jenkins was out.
Yes.
And you would have figured that the Eagles would try and find ways to move the ball through the air. And Carson Wentz, I mean, he did leave the game for a bit. He got smashed into the turf by Olivier Vernon. But he had 24 attempts.
Yeah.
It's nothing. We were expecting, Doug Peterson has said he wants to rein it in because he's had to throw the ball 60 times. And he's leading the league in attempts basically the second half of the season. But we know the Giants are stingy, especially in the run with Snacks Harrison clogging up the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, outside of Nelson Agholor, Jordan Matthews, 2 catches for 12 yards on 6 targets. We said Ertz, Doriel Green-Beckham did nothing. Sproles wasn't really involved. Very, very frustrating, disappointing game from the Eagles, even in a win for them.
I want to get Carson Wentz a Christmas present. And it may not happen until free agency hits in the NFL, but it's Alshon Jeffrey because he needs a receiver. I can't, even a blind squirrel finds a nut, right? That's what happened with Nelson Agholor last night. Other than that, he's got absolutely nothing to throw to. So if you want your rookie quarterback to have some success, Philly, get him a wide receiver this year.
This is the list of free agent wide receivers in 2017. So Alshon tops the list. Vincent Jackson, where he will go. Pierre Garçon, DeShaun Jackson, Kenny Britt, Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin, Kamar Aiken, Brandon LaFell, and Michael Floyd, too. And Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn will probably get a nice little deal from somebody.
I don't mind Kamar Aiken.
I guess the right system.
But he's a number two more than anything else.
Yeah.
And Alshon is a number one kind of guy. Terrell Pryor could be out there, too.
Yeah, but I think everybody hates him in the NFL. Yeah, he doesn't seem to have any friends.
Why didn't Brian Hartline just take him to the dumps?
Yeah.
Brian Hartline, you were terrible your entire career. Stop being so jealous that Terrell Pryor took your job in Cleveland.
Yeah.
All right, so the one bonus for recording this podcast on Friday afternoon is that we're getting some injury news as we record the show. Adrian Peterson is not going to play in Week 16 against the Green Bay Packers. We kind of sensed that was coming. And look, last week we got right. We were in unison in saying do not play Adrian Peterson. Well, we're on the flip side. I forget where you guys stood on Alshon Jeffrey. I wanted nothing to do with Alshon Jeffrey, and he had a very good game. So with these guys coming back, and
it's
I guess
a garbage time game.
Yeah, but, he feasted in the second
half. He had, I think, one target, something.
He was terrible in the first half.
So no AP this week. What else? Julio Jones is off the injury report.
Who was the Vikings rep that told Ian Rappaport or whoever it was last week that Adrian Peterson just looks like a beast in practice?
Amazing. Like
he
the
looks
old Adrian.
Like AP.
Yeah,
that worked out.
I don't think it matters who is running behind that line.
No.
They're all going to be pretty bad.
They're like the first team since 99 to average less than 3 yards a carry this late in the season.
Just seeing if there's any other injury news here. Oh, apparently the Bills want to make re-signing Robert Woods a top priority. That's great.
Yeah.
Almost spit out my coffee.
He had that good run in the like week 7, week 8 range.
Yeah. And then he got hurt. And they got hurt, just like every single Bill. Sammy Watkins questionable for this week against the Dolphins, but he looks like he's going to play. All right. I did ask for you folks to get in some tweets to the Fantasy Show Twitter account, and we do have a couple, so why don't we get those out there now before we get to the game previews. Zach wants to know what he should do with Jordan Reed at tight end. And at this point, I don't think Jordan Reed is going to play.
Doesn't look like it, no.
So you might have your question answered for you. Let's say Jordan Reed does play and he has like Hunter Henry on his bench or CJ Fedorowicz, who could be back this week. I mean, Jordan Reed is playing through, it seems like, 3 injuries and he lost his head last week. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. But if Jordan Reed ends up being active on championship week, like, to me, it's not a start him at all costs. It really depends on who's on your bench. Like, you know who's been the number one tight end the last 2 weeks?
Who's that?
Charles Clay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you have Charles Clay against Dan's Dolphins? Do you play Charles Clay over a banged up Jordan Reed?
Absolutely. Jordan Reed played last week banged up. What, do you have one catch, got hurt, banged up again a couple more times, and then he got tossed. Yeah. I don't think he's going to play.
I don't think so either.
But if he does, I would play Vernon Davis over him.
Or maybe the idea there is to just start anybody you can against the Cleveland Browns. And good for you. I mean, you have 2 possible tight ends there. Antonio Gates, who is old and decrepit, but he could catch a touchdown. And same with Hunter Henry, who does get a lot of looks in the red zone.
Alex tweets in that in a 1-point PPR league, Jordan Howard or Jay Ajayi. And I lead Jordan Howard here.
Yeah,
I think that shouldn't even really be a question. Yeah. It's 100% Jordan Howard.
Yeah,
like Ajayi's issues.
It's Mike Pouncey. I mean, if Mike Pouncey's
been
hurt,
more line.
Think of it in the same way that we've seen the Minnesota Vikings line just be completely awful this year. It's not so much to do with Jay Ajayi as it is with having nowhere to run. And basically, when Mike Pouncey doesn't play, Ajayi's got nowhere to run. And that's kind of been the way it's gone over the last number of weeks.
Where do you guys think Jay Ajayi is going to be drafted next year? Working under the assumption that the Dolphins really don't do anything at the position and he's clearly their number one guy going in.
Probably like fourth round. Yeah, I was going to say fourth or fifth round, yeah.
Fourth, fifth round. I mean, we've kind of seen a resurgence of the running back position this year, I think. Yeah. And maybe that factors into drafting next year. But I do think he's probably a fourth round guy because he's probably going to, again, log 18 touches per game.
And if you can bank that with a fourth round pick, I think you'd absolutely do that. So, look, make sure you get your lineups in. Do them tonight if you can. Tomorrow morning, there's a full slate of games on Saturday, and then there's a couple of games on Sunday, and then the Monday nighter. So let's start with the Saturday slate, and we'll get to Dan's Dolphins at my Buffalo Bills. And here's a true story. Last week, my wife she pretty much hinted to me that she got me Bills tickets for Christmas. Now, Christmas Eve at my parents' house is a big deal, right?
Right.
Like, it's one of the days I look forward to each year. So quickly I said, well, if we go to the game Christmas Eve, then we have to, you know, come back and we have to go through the border and then we're going to be late. And I just wanted nothing to do. So we've posted the tickets back on some websites for resale.
Not a single bite.
Not a sniff.
Yeah.
Nothing. And they're decent seats too.
No Dolphin fans want them.
I guess not. Sorry. Hopefully we get some today. But anyways, I hope she's not like pissed because she pretty much said that's going to be my gift. And I said, well, I don't really want it, which is a bit of an ass thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's like,
I don't want to be late to Christmas Eve dinner.
Right. Christmas Eve dinner, at least for me. I mean, I love fish, and on Christmas Eve and Good Friday, that's all we eat is fish in our Italian household. I assume it's similar for you, Alex.
Oh, no, we do. Christmas Eve is full on turkey and.
Oh, really?
Stuffing and stuff, yeah.
But we go all fish, and it's one of my favorite dinners of the year. So,
Yeah. Well, so I was going to be at this game, and then I decided I really didn't want to go. But let's talk about the Dolphins first here. Mike Pouncey, who's been placed on injured reserve, said he will not need surgery. And we should emphasize, too, we're doing this on Friday, so we don't have the latest injury news we have is pretty much at like 12:30 on Friday. So just keep that in mind. I don't know what plays you guys want here. I mean, we know what Matt Moore did with 18 passing attempts last week. I believe he was the number three quarterback in fantasy last week. But between Stills and Landry and Parker, is it easy to identify for you guys which one of the three will have the biggest fantasy week at New Era Field or whatever the hell they call it?
I don't think so. I think the Dolphins want to keep this game as low scoring as possible, which means as long as it's close, they're going to be feeding Jay Ajayi. Kenny Stills had a big week the last time these two teams played, but the Dolphins, I mean, they're just not that great on offense right now. So Jarvis Landry, I think, even though he's had lower target totals lately, he's probably the only guy I really trust in the pass game. And I kind of like a lot of Bills here.
Yeah, like Jay Ajayi crushed the Bills in week 7. And since then, he's been bad. Mostly line play, but he's last four games, he's averaging less than 3 yards per carry. So do you play Jay Ajayi at all costs here if those two big weeks he had kind of helped you get to the playoffs? And
no, you can't play really anyone at all costs. I mean, there's obviously a few guys that you have to think about playing, even if the matchup's terrible and they've been terrible despite a great track record.
It's really hard to sit if you are in the final. I mean, I don't know how you sit Jay Ajayi in that workload. Like, who do you sit him for?
Yeah, that's the question.
Bilal Powell?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Frank Gore, who looked good last week.
Yeah, I would say Frank Gore against the Raiders.
Raiders have been good against the run the last couple of weeks. Kenneth Farrell, maybe?
Nah.
No, I don't think so.
At Cleveland?
Yeah, he fumbled last week and looked pretty bad.
But it's Cleveland!
Yeah.
It is Cleveland. I think I'd still stick with Ajayi there, but it's probably a little bit closer than maybe I'm letting on. Yeah, I mean, like, Deion Sims is catching a bunch of touchdowns. Yep. Look, I still think in PPR, Jarvis Landry is the guy I want, but it seems like they've kind of phased out Devontae Parker. And Kenny Stills has that big playability, which I could definitely see him catching a 70-yard touchdown against this Buffalo secondary.
Yeah, you could.
I think Matt Moore is a guy who can sling it, and he is a bit of a gunslinger. If you watch the way that he plays, the Dolphins certainly kept the reins on him last week. They didn't have to let him loose, but the Bills, they score over 30 points per game on their home turf. So this game might get into a bit of a shootout if the Bills can score. And early on, I mean, you look, if the Bills pound the ball, the Dolphins suck against the run. So the Fins are about 5.5 yards per carry over the last four. You look at that and you wonder what Kaepernick and Mariota have done to the Dolphins defense recently. So this sets up well for Tyrod Taylor. I think the Bills, they rightly so, they're, I think, 4-point favorites in this one. I think this sets up as a good game for the Bills.
Sammy Watkins has 11 receptions since returning. He's really, I mean, he did have the touchdown a couple of weeks ago, but he was pretty much a non-factor last week. And again, is still on the injury report. But yeah, I don't mind Tyrod here. I would still have a hard time starting Tyrod in like a 12-team league. I doubt you've been doing so anyways. But in a two-quarterback league, I mean, he's been pretty consistent just looking at fantasy points week to week. He's never really wowing you, but he's not also having those like 8-9 point weeks that kill you. Yeah. He's kind of been, I don't know if he's been technically average or a little better than average, but you kind of know what you're going to get when you start Tyrod. And at home in this matchup, I guess the only issue is what Dan said is that LeSean and Gilsley could carry the ball 40 times.
Yeah.
And that
they
really
had 280 yards last week. I mean, not to say that that'll happen again. The Dolphins are better than the Browns, but
do you guys want Charles Clay this week?
I'd take him over Jordan Reed, like we said. And he had his best game as a Bill last year against Miami, so there's some track record that he's had success against the Dolphins.
Would you go Jimmy Graham or Charles Clay?
Jimmy.
I think I might go Charles Clay. Arizona's good against tight ends. Jimmy Graham's been terrible the last 2 weeks, but it's close.
All right, let's get to the New York Jets on the road against the New England Patriots. Matt Forte has a shoulder and a knee. He didn't practice on Thursday. I would anticipate he's not going to play this week, but Apparently, Todd Bowles said Forte could play even if he doesn't practice. I don't know why they would even think about doing
that. Does Todd Bowles want to get fired? Like,
maybe, maybe
like,
he does.
This doesn't make any sense.
I'm trying to wrap my head around how that does make sense, and it doesn't. So, look, Bilal Powell should get a whole bunch of work here, and if the game script goes the way we think it will, then the Jets are going to be playing from behind, and this could be another double-digit catch game.
Yeah.
For Bilal Powell. So he's clearly, to me, in the RB2 range. Would you start Bilal Powell or Todd Gurley against the 49ers?
PPR, I think you have to go with Powell.
Yep. Standard, I might even go with Powell, too. Like, what has Gurley done? I don't care how bad the Niners are. They've been horrible against running backs all year. You know who the one running back who didn't do anything against them?
Week one.
Todd Gurley, who stunk.
But like their run defense is historically bad.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Apparently so is he like this
the
year. More
like the last 25 years, no run D has been poor.
Trent Richardson was worse than Todd Gurley. Let's be honest.
Yes.
He's been drawing Trent Richardson comparisons.
He is wretched.
Yeah. It's not great.
Like on Fantasy Pros, Bilal Powell is a back end RB2. It seems low to me. Robert Kelly's ahead of him. Gore, Stewart, Jeremy Hill, even Spencer Ware against the Broncos.
I wouldn't have run that on the Broncos.
No, it's because the Patriots Rundy has been very good the last few weeks.
But does that matter if he's catching the short little passes?
They get beaten. They give up all their points to running backs through the air, and that's where he excels.
Patriots have given up 93 receptions to running backs and 747 receiving yards to running backs. So we all like Bilal Powell here. And if the Jets are going to be playing from behind, which, again, we think they will, Bryce Petty will start this game. Do we think it's going to be a kind of a junk time, Robbie Anderson saves you with a touchdown fourth quarter type week? Like, where would we have Robbie Anderson in our hypothetical rankings? As a outside the top 30?
No, inside the top 30.
Because he's been a top 20 wide receiver the last 3 weeks.
And, I mean,
so
that's all you're counting on is garbage time. And that's fine for fantasy purposes.
Like Brandon Marshall is gone. Brandon Marshall has, like, apparently he's on the field, but he's not doing anything. He's
11 targets last week, one catch. So, yeah.
All right. So for the Patriots, do we think they're blowing the Jets out in this game? Yep. Is that what you guys think?
Yep. I would say so, yes. Yeah.
So LeGarrette Blount will get his weekly touchdown, we imagine. And then what? Julian Edelman is getting peppered with targets. He's just not scoring touchdowns, but you're still starting Julian Edelman in your fantasy championship.
I feel like this is a blow-up spot for him. He had 11 targets in week 12. The Jets have given up 11 passing touchdowns since their week 11 bye. He had 8 receptions, 83 yards. All he was missing was the touchdown against the Jets in the last time they
met. Well, and in standard leagues, that's
8 points.
Yeah.
It's not great. I mean, it's not horrible, but it's not great.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling myself that maybe you should, well, it would really depend who you have. I'm not going to sit here and say bench Julian Edelman, but he's been.
Would you start Malcolm Mitchell over Julian Edelman?
No, I don't think so, but. Like, for all the work that he's getting and for all the targets he's seeing, it's disappointing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Malcolm Mitchell has, I think, a better path to scoring a touchdown than Julian Edelman does. Agreed. But yet, I want to play Edelman over Mitchell. And they could each finish with the same amount of fantasy points, just doing it completely different ways. But yeah, with all the targets Edelman's getting, I would definitely start him over Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then what else? Martellus Bennett?
Not so much.
Taking a flyer on Chris Hogan?
I think it's hard. Yeah, I mean, Martellus Bennett, obviously. But Deion Lewis had 37% of the snaps last week, 104 yards. I kind of wonder if this is a spot where the Patriots, though, they say, we're going to easily win this game. We don't really need Deion Lewis to win this game.
Yeah, you can't count on that.
We need to keep him fresh for the playoffs.
Yes, you just can't count on that week to week.
All right, let's get to the Tennessee Titans on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we've kind of touched on DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry already. How do you guys feel about Marcus Mariota in this game? Hasn't thrown a touchdown in his last 53 attempts the last 2 weeks. Jacksonville has been pretty good.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey is legit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do like this game, though, for Mariota. I mean, you look at his career against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think he's been a top 12 QB in all three of his career meetings against the Jags. So clearly there's something that he does that the Jacksonville defensive coordinator can't figure out. Mm-hmm. And that's a trend now at this point with three straight games. Remember the Thursday nighter where they played last time and it was blown out already at halftime. Like, they went to Matt Castle late in that game. Delanie Walker's done well against the Jaguars over those last games with Mariota as well. So that sets up. I think this is a bounce back week for the Titans here.
You go Russell Wilson or Marcus Mariota?
Wilson.
Wilson gets the Cardinals.
At home, which is huge.
Yeah.
Wilson.
And would you go Marcus Mariota or Cam Newton against the Falcons team that gives up a lot of fantasy production?
Newton.
Yeah, I got to go Ham.
Yeah, I'd go Cam too.
Yeah.
Delanie Walker has been... He's been disappointing the last four games, 171 yards and a touchdown total in those four games, but I kind of like the spot here, especially DFS. Rob kind of talked about it already. And Rishard Matthews has been very good, and I still don't think he's getting the due that he deserves, especially from the fantasy community.
But if he's going to get it, like, are the Jaguars going to use Jalen Ramsey to shadow Rishard Matthews?
They might, yeah.
And if that's the case, I mean, I don't know if I'm willing to start Rishard Matthews then.
Yeah.
I just think of all, like, I do think the Titans will put up some points here.
Yeah.
And I actually do think he is the most likely to catch one, even more than Delanie. But yeah, if Ramsey, I haven't seen anything yet this week to tell me that Ramsey is going to be completely shadowing Rishard Matthews, but he's had some bad games against bad teams, but outside of that, he's been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time taking him out of my lineup, especially if he got me to this point. For the Jaguars, good luck to Doug Marrone, who's now the interim coach over there. We talked about Allen Robinson already. Anything else you guys want? The running backs, Marquise Lee.
Yeldon in a PPR deep flex because he's been catching passes, but outside of that, absolutely not.
Let's get to the Vikings on the road against the Packers. Harrison Smith returned to practice on Thursday on a limited basis, so that would be good for the Vikings D if they could get him back. And we just told you that Adrian Peterson is not going to play. So, Jerick McKinnon, maybe.
Yeah.
This week against that Green Bay run D. What type of league would it have to be for you to play Jerick McKinnon this week?
I think PPR leagues, he's probably further up your rankings. I think only David Johnson over the last couple of weeks has more receptions than does Jerick McKinnon. So certainly in that sense, I think this game's going to be low scoring. I do.
Even for the Green Bay side of things?
Yeah.
Seeing what the Colts did to the Vikings last week?
Well, Harrison Smith makes a big difference. If he's playing, that's kind of big.
It's Aaron at home. Apparently
it is
the weather,
Aaron at home.
Weather's going to be fine. I can see the Packers putting up 30 points in this game.
Yeah, the Vikings got exposed big time last week against the Colts.
But yeah, I really don't want any other Viking here. I don't want Stephon Diggs. I don't know
Kyle Rudolph?
Maybe Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah,
I guess. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, yeah. Christmas weekend. You know, he's got to get Santa off on the right track.
I think he's going to score a touchdown.
Do you?
Yep.
Okay, there's Josh's first prediction of the show. Mike McCarthy thinks there's more to do with Ty Montgomery, who had 16 carries last week, 2 touchdowns, a buck 62.
So he's going to get out-snapped by Kristen Munn.
he better not. He better not. I like most of the guys here. Ty, Jordy, Rogers. I think the big question here is what you do with Davante Adams. And do you want...
is he in the doghouse now after
Adams.
Those two drops last week?
Yeah.
In the end zone.
One in particular was just horrific.
Shades of 2015,
right,
man.
In the hands.
Like, that gets you right into Rodgers' doghouse. You know, like, he's putting you in the tent on the sideline, and you're not allowed out for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Davante Adams or DeAndre Hopkins?
Hopkins.
Davante Adams or Dontrell Inman against the Browns?
Inman. The former Argos.
Inman.
Let's go. Argos.
Targets, slot receivers have crushed the Browns. Give me Inman.
And would you go Davante Adams or Allen Robinson against Tennessee?
Give me Allen. Give me A-Rob, baby. Give it to me.
They are both kind of stink
right now.
He's
too good to be this bad all season long. He's got to have a blow-up game.
I think I'll stick with Adams because I think Xavier Rhodes is going to be on
Jordy.
Nelson. Yeah.
You know what, Josh? You don't have the cojones The Cuyunis.
I have Cuyunis. Allen Robinson in one or two lineups because he's so cheap and the matchup's good, but that hasn't meant anything this year with him.
Anything else on this game you guys want to touch on here?
No.
All right. Let's get to the San Diego Chargers on the road against the Cleveland Browns. Melvin Gordon did not practice on Thursday. We expect him out. So, look, Kenneth Farrell last week was meh.
Yeah, pretty bad.
I think we kind of saw that coming, but we hoped the workload would get him to the point where he was respectable in fantasy. Now they're on the road against the Cleveland Browns. Are we going back to Kenneth Farrell here? Do you guys want to start Kenneth Farrell against Cleveland?
Well, he fumbled twice, and they still didn't really go to Ronnie Hillman after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that says something to me. Maybe Hillman gets another week of practice in the offense, and so he earns some more snaps. I don't know, but Hillman's not that great. So, look, everybody runs on the Browns. The Bills had 280 yards last week against the Browns. If I think Kenneth Farrell is going to get another 15 to 18 touches, and somehow I made it into the final after his horrible week last week, I think I'm sticking with him here.
Yeah.
Like, what are the chances Phillip Rivers throws like 5 touchdowns here in this game?
It's kind of likely.
I know the Chargers don't really have anything to play for aside from getting Antonio Gates his touchdown record, which, and he's 3 away, and there's 2 games left.
How long's he been 3 away for? He's been awful the last few weeks.
He gets zero separation. Like, the tank is basically on empty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His car is telling him you have 5 kilometers left before you need to fill up.
Yeah, he's right up against the slash there. It's bad.
I really like Rivers in this game, and I think the best receiving option from a San Diego perspective is the guy we just talked about.
Yeah.
It's Dontrell Inman.
Not revenge narrative Travis Benjamin?
No. I think I'd play Inman over Benjamin if I had to.
Benjamin has 13 targets the last 5 games. That's guys have that and a half this year.
Yeah, and Inman, I think 5 or more catches in 5 of the last 6. So, I mean, Tyrell, the Gazelle Williams, gets still the majority of the targets, but he's kind of horrible ever since he's like been playing with this torn labrum thing. So
he's been ineffective, and kudos to him for trying to play through it, but I would probably rank it. I'd probably still rank it Inman, Williams, and Benjamin.
Yeah.
If I had to rank the 3 San Diego wide receivers. For the Browns, there's not a lot. Terrell Pryor has that finger thing. He was limited in practice on Thursday. The Browns have scored 1 or fewer touchdowns in 6 straight games.
Yeah. You're not playing anyone.
How bad is Robert Griffin III?
This
is a great stat from Roto World. The Browns. At least it will be Christmas weekend.
Yeah.
And that is about it, which is another lost year for the Brownies. What a surprise. All right, let's get to the Redskins on the road against the Bears. And again, according to the Washington Post, you know, the Redskins don't seem too optimistic that Jordan Reed is going to play this week. So if you want to play a tight end in Washington, obviously Vernon Davis is going to be that guy. You would think this might be a bounce back spot for Kirk Cousins, who, look, he was pretty good up until last week. And last week, I guess we can give a guy like him a bad game. He just had it at a very bad time for fantasy football. But I could definitely see Kirk Cousins being a top 5 quarterback this week. Like, I'm not shying away from Kirk Cousins in this matchup against the Bears.
No, and I mean, the Bears are, they're hashtag bad. But, you know, you have to believe here that there's going to be enough for Kirk Cousins to go around. And I mean, Jamison Crowder has a great matchup. DeSean Jackson has a great matchup. Everybody's got a great matchup. It's really up to whether or not Kirk Cousins likes it or not.
And the Bears are giving up almost 150 rushing yards per game the last 5. So Rob Kelly's in RB2 this week.
Game script would suggest that he's good, because as we saw last week, even though he did get the touchdown, he is one of those game script dependent running backs.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, who would you rank higher than Jordan Howard this week?
Of all the running backs?
Yeah.
Well, let me,
McCoy.
Like, I think it's just the 4 guys, right? It's like Zeke, Shady, Le'Veon, and DJ. To me, that's pretty much
and
it.
And a couple of those guys have rough matchups.
Yeah, like I would even say, well, I mean, it's hard
DeMarco,
to pick DJ
DeMarco's
over.
The other guy. DeMarco's the other guy, but
even though Derrick Henry's taking all the carries inside the 5-yard line,
that might push Jordan Howard over him.
Like Washington got hammered by Jonathan Stewart last week.
Yeah, they did.
Howard's been good. He's already over 1,000 yards, scrimmage yards on the season.
Remember when we were all like, yeah, you can drop him mid-season.
And it just like makes you wonder what John Fox was thinking when he put him in the doghouse after one bad game and was giving Kadeem Carey.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeremy Langford carries over this guy who's been one of the five or six best running backs in the NFL since probably, what, week 7 or week 8?
Yeah.
So stupid.
Alshon Jeffrey played 92% of the snaps last week. And, you know, I think the stat is Pro Football Focus has rated Matt Barkley like the third best quarterback the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He's been really good.
I saw his like yards per attempt was like over 10 yards.
Very high.
It's incredible.
He's taking shots, and he just looks comfortable. It's very strange.
Thrown a few bad picks.
He has. He's
playing that gunslinging style.
Love it. Cam Meredith, 13 targets last week. I think he's the most trustable guy here.
I agree.
He's been much better since they put him in the slot.
Yeah. And the Redskins are not good against slot receivers.
Does anybody have a good slot cornerback? Like, I feel like every slot receiver has a great matchup.
every week in every game.
There was some thought that Nickell Robey was a good... And then just, like, slot receivers started to just tear him apart.
Deactivated, I feel like, most
weeks. I don't watch the Bills anymore. So how would we rank the Bears wide receivers? Would he Cam Meredith over Alshon Jeffrey? We wouldn't do that, would
no,
we?
No, but close. I think Alshon's in for probably not a great day with Josh Norman in his kitchen all day.
I would rank Meredith over him. I think, I mean, Meredith's got the safer floor for me. So, yeah, give me Meredith.
All right, the Falcons on the road against the Carolina Panthers. Julio Jones, as we said, off the injury report, so he's going to play on Saturday. What should fantasy owners do with Julio Jones, who's coming off that injury?
Well, he's going to get 300 yards again against the Falcons.
Clearly. Like, okay, let's predict the game script for Julio Jones. Is he on the field for 90% of snaps? Do they ease him back in?
I mean, he's not even on the practice report, so that tells you he's pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And this is a game I think the Falcons, they certainly want, and it pretty much cements them as division winners if they take it. So then you get week 17 to rest Julio. This is a spot for Julio to really have a strong game. My only problem is Carolina's a much different team since the last time these two teams met, and they haven't allowed a top 10 quarterback since week 8.
Yeah.
So that's worrisome towards Matt Ryan and Julio's ceiling outlook.
Devonta Freeman over Tevin Coleman, slightly for me. But you kind of need him to score touchdowns. You need Devonta Freeman to score touchdowns, and Tevin Coleman to a point.
And Coleman gets all the touchdowns on the road.
Yeah.
Freeman gets them all at home.
I think a lot of people made a lot of money starting Aldrick Robinson the last couple of weeks. He'll probably take a little bit of a tick downward now with Julio back.
What about Taylor Gabriel? I don't think his role changes at all, to be honest.
I think he's still a boom or bust, wide receiver three. For the Panthers, Greg Olsen did not practice on Thursday, but apparently he's going to be playing. That's according to Ron Rivera and Cam Newton. Averaging 18 completions a game at this point, which is 27th among all quarterbacks. But
Kelvin Benjamin's bad.
Yeah. It's nothing's changed. It's still Ted Ginn is the first wide receiver. You know, I think it'd be Ginn, Olsen, Benjamin is how I would rank the pass catching options for Carolina. And Jonathan Stewart did run all over
Washington last week.
And the Falcons just bleed fantasy points I like most of the Panthers here. I like Cam. I think in DFS, there's a lot of really good quarterback matchups this week. Yeah. I don't know how many people are going to be on Cam in tournaments. I think I'll probably have a couple lineups with Cam on it. Jonathan Stewart kind of getting the touchdowns away from the goal line scares me a little bit, but
it's the second highest total of the week, so you like that, obviously. And Jay Stu's got 50 touches over the last couple of weeks in a prime matchup at home. This is a huge spot for Jonathan Stewart. I just feel like, and this is totally gut feel, like any time I've ever believed in Jonathan Stewart, he has totally let me down.
Yeah, he has that reputation for sure.
All right, let's get to the late kickoffs on Saturday. The Indianapolis Colts on the road against the Oakland Raiders. It looks like Dante Moncrief will return this week. He was back in practice on Thursday and on Friday, so he misses just the one game.
So you can book 50 yards and a touchdown. Just get your 11 fantasy points and take it home to the bank.
Yeah.
Luck and Hilton, you're starting. It's obvious. I think you're starting Frank Gore too. Last 2 weeks, he's been good. Even though Robert Turbin's getting touchdowns, but Frank Gore has been pretty reliable. Which tight end do you want out of Indianapolis?
None.
Just completely fading the position.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with that because there's no predicting who it's going to go to. Eric Swope or whatever his name is
had a swoop.
Whatever, however you pronounce it.
There it is.
Scored a touchdown last week. So
former basketball player, I learned this week.
Yeah.
It's good to exciting. Know. Yeah. Jimmy Graham, Tony
tight end,
G.
Basketball player. It's not, it seems pretty standard for a lot of these guys.
Narrative Street, baby.
As for the Raiders, okay, here we go. The offensive coordinator saying that Amari Cooper will be more involved this week.
Grease that wheel, baby.
Oh, baby.
He's been so bad.
So,
how does he not go off this week? I mean,
easy. They get to the red zone, and Derek Carr throws red zone touchdowns to Michael Crabtree.
The Colts give up the 20-yard passes all the time, and Vontae Davis is running on one leg, so...
Well, explain to me what's happened the last 5 weeks where he's been a dud. Like, what is what's been the problem?
It's baffling.
Yeah. And I was a huge Amari. I drafted him in so many spots, and the last 5 weeks he's been the wide receiver 42.
He's still in the top 10 in yardage for receiving in the league, but he's just basically boosted that up with a couple of monster games. And lately, he can't even crack 60 yards.
So he's not getting into the end zone, and he's not getting a lot of yardage. Yeah.
The total here is over 50. I think it's the highest total of the week or one of them. Derek Carr, the last couple of weeks since he injured his pinky, QB 18 and QB 30.
Yeah, it's a problem.
So where are the points coming from then? Where does Vegas think all these points are coming from?
Latavius Murray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Michael Crabtree.
Yeah.
And maybe there's another touchdown for somebody else.
A 60-yard score for Amari Cooper. Thank you very much.
Crabtree and Cooper haven't had a good game together.
So Seth Roberts is going to get two touchdowns.
Maybe.
Yeah. Clive Walford. Who knows? Crabtree will score a touchdown,
I
think.
It's not like I don't want Amari Cooper to score in this game.
I hate you, Jack Del Rio.
It is a really good matchup.
It is.
And I highly doubt that you got to this point of the fantasy championship where you benched Amari Cooper. It's been frustrating.
If I'm doing a game stack DFS in this game, I'm having Andrew Luck as the quarterback, not Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Possibly Latavius Murray is the running back that I want to use. And T.Y. and Michael Crabtree, I think, are the safer plays on the wide receiver end.
We got some more news rolling in. Stephon Diggs is questionable. Mm. We told you about Sammy. Andrew Luck was on the injury report. He has been removed from the injury report, so that is good to see. Buccaneers on the road against the New Orleans Saints. Mike Evans just had a rest day on Tuesday, back at practice on Wednesday. Talk about guys who have been disappointing lately. The last 3 weeks, wide receiver 65 by average points. That's according to RotoWorld. And Rob kind of touched on it when he was talking about Cameron Brate. He's getting double-teamed, triple-teamed, and Braid is like, hey, I'm wide open. Just give it to me.
Yeah.
But you're starting Mike Evans here. I'm not going to get cute with this. He's been on a bad run, but you're starting Mike Evans in this matchup.
Jameis has also regressed the last couple of weeks. He was horrific on Sunday night. They had so many chances to win that game. I mean, the protection wasn't amazing, but he made a couple of just truly terrible throws. Even the long touchdown to Adam Humphries.
The whole team, aside from Brate, the whole team has just kind of flamed out.
Yeah, like offensively.
Doug Martin, since he's returned, he's been practically a zero.
Yeah. He's been a fart sound.
Yeah. he has been hot diarrhea.
2.8 yards per carry is what he lives for. Like 18 carries for 49 yards. Give it to Doug Martin all day.
What tight ends do you like better than Cameron Brate? Greg Olsen?
Yeah.
Kelsey?
No.
Against the Broncos?
No, not with Macklin back in the fold.
Delaney?
Yes.
Eifert, Tyler Eifert's not playing, by the way. We just learned that. Tyler Eifert out and AJ Green is questionable.
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that might be it. Cameron Brate, the Harvard and the Harvard.
Fire
product.
Up. Tight end for the last 5 weeks has been very consistent.
Martellus?
No. No way.
Stupid Ben.
Yeah, I think I'd probably still go great there. Holy, the Saints last week. So many points.
I'm still so mad about this. Like, I've had good DFS weeks, you know, but it's the day that you are on something that nobody else is on, that's your day to make the big profit in DFS.
And that was
and I was
Cooks.
This damn close. And it just it ate at me all day, though I was in the black overall on last Sunday. But
I'm pretty sure the Millie Maker winner had was most of the tournaments that if you made any cash in DFS last week, pretty sure you had that stack.
Yeah.
Last week. And if you had Ty Montgomery too.
Yeah, you were in good shape.
You were looking really good here. So
because Devonta and Shady, they were absolute chalk last week, right?
Yeah.
But the Saints pass catchers, people were like, no, you can't, whatever. You can't start them against Arizona. But what we learn is Breeze indoors.
Yeah.
Fire him up.
So
is Brandon Cooks just now a sort of rich man's DeSean Jackson? Like, we're drafting him as a number one receiver, right? As a top 10 guy. And maybe the numbers will sort of look like that at the end of the year, but it's been a little too feast or famine. You want consistency. You want a high floor, high ceiling from your first receiver. You don't want a high floor, rock bottom. Yeah. I mean, a high ceiling, rock bottom floor, which is what he's had this year.
I think the issue with him is the environment he is in. And Michael Thomas has emerged.
Yep.
And Willie Snead has had some weeks. They really haven't gotten their tight ends involved.
Kobe Fleener.
But that's the...
What did they pay him 5 years for? I can't figure that out.
Yikes. What the hell happened there?
Look, they had an offer. They wanted someone else, and then they pulled the offer off, and then they just went to... Oh, no, that was... Talking about the Blue Jays. but yeah, that's the issue when drafting one of these... like in this New Orleans offense, it's been like this for a while. There's usually four or five different ways that Drew Brees can go to.
Except Michael Thomas is actually consistent.
Yeah.
Like, he is the guy I would want more so than Brandon Cooks next year. Because he gets the red zone looks. He gets consistent targets.
Yep. Absolutely. Like Brees here, like Thomas, like Cooks. You guys want Mark Ingram this week?
So what happened with Mark Ingram last week? What was the tantrum all about? He got mad.
Well, there was the initially it was apparently that if he got so many touchdowns that he would get a bonus in his contract.
Yeah.
And then apparently that was we realized that was not true. Apparently the bonus clause has to do with yardage from what I saw and not touchdowns. I think he got upset because they just took him out. Like he wanted to score, not for monetary purposes.
Agree.
He just wanted to get into the end zone himself.
Yep. And they wanted to get Hightower in the end zone because the Arizona link. Is that it? Like maybe. It was at a Rex Ryan type go beat up in your former team there, kid.
He went all Grayson Allen on the sidelines. That's what he did.
Yeah, he was really, really, really upset.
So I hope Ingram goes off this week.
Do you guys like Ingram in this matchup?
I do. I mean, Tampa Bay has they've been stout against the pass lately, but horrible against the run. It's the complete opposite of what they were beginning of the season. So
they got shredded by Ezekiel Elliott last week, which isn't exactly a crime this year.
Yeah, I needed Zeke to have like a not great day, and he was just like 100 yards per carry.
Yeah, what do you have, 155 yards or something like that? Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like you can really rely on Ingram volume.
Because you're a big Ingram guy.
Oh, I'm a big Ingram guy.
I think you're the biggest Ingram guy in this room here.
But like, I just don't know who I'm playing him over. Would I play him over Jay Ajayi? I would really have to think about
Josh,
that one.
Just being a Lakers fan, you know, the Ingram, Brandon Ingram, Mark Ingram. He's all about the Ingrams.
Yeah, that should be my team name in fantasy football from now on. It's all about the Ingrams.
All about the Ingrams. I like it. Arizona on the road in Seattle. David Johnson aside, I don't think I want anyone here. And Larry Fitz is kind of falling apart again.
Yep. You want a good old Larry Fitzgerald stat?
I am always ready
for
one of
those. He leads the league in catches that have failed to gain at least 10 yards with 54.
Yeah.
And what does he have, 90 some odd grabs? So well over 50% of his catches are for sub 10 yards.
98 receptions, though. I mean, in a PPR league, he's been fine.
I actually got into an argument with Bunkus, the producer of The Walker Show, about Dez Bryant being, he thinks Dez Bryant is worse than Larry Fitzgerald.
Like right now?
Yes.
No way.
In terms of...
Just a horrific take.
In terms of being a football player?
Yeah. Top 10 receiver. He didn't think Dez was top 10 receiver in the league, and he was putting Alshon Jeffrey and Fitzgerald and Julian Edelman and Jarvis Landry over Dez Bryant. I was very unhappy, and I wasn't.
Jarvis Landry. Yeah.
So we don't really have time to go in it, but I.
That's a horrible take.
I'm wondering what like the getting deep into his take, why he believes that.
I feel like if you got deep into it, the thing would just topple over like a house of cards.
All right, what about the Seahawks here, guys? Jimmy Graham's been terrible. Tyler Lockett really showed up last week, and Thomas Rawls had his dud, but we just saw Drew Brees and the Saints throw a whole bunch of points on this Arizona defense. Do we envision the Seahawks at home doing the exact same thing?
Yeah, I think so. Tyler Lockett, I mean, at least he's been getting the targets lately, so you can take that to the bank. 6 targets in 5 of his last 6. I enjoy that. 4 of the last 6 QBs have faced the Cardinals and finished top 10 in weekly scoring. So that's all you need. Like, this is a week for Russell Wilson and his guys.
All right, let's go quickly here because I have my update shift I have to do. 49ers and Rams.
I have notes on this. First one is, yuck.
Yeah.
Second one is, you're going to start Todd Gurley.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And then run your head into a wall after you click him submitted into your lineup.
Todd Gurley is the top 8 running back according to Fantasy Pros consensus rankings, ahead of Freeman, Hyde, Blunt, Lamar Miller, Ajayi, Ware, and Hill.
Take a bold man to go with a Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Kenny Britt stack in DFS.
It's the unstoppable force meets the immovable object of badness. Todd Gurley versus the 49ers ranted run D.
Maybe Todd Gurley will have a 30-yard carry. You never know. Or 25-yard carry.
Will he top John Ryan after John Ryan beat him in longest run of the year last week?
We're about to find out. Hey. Bengals at the Texans. That's the Saturday night game. AJ Green questionable. No Tyler Eifert. Let's work under the assumption that AJ Green plays in this game. Is AJ Green, like Julio, an automatic plug back into your lineup and start?
Yeah. Yeah, for me.
I don't know about that.
Now, why would you hesitate for the one and not the other?
One's been out long term. Another guy's just been out, what? How long has Julio been out?
Two
games.
Feels like Julio's hurt all the
Green's
time, though.
Green's missed 4, I think. 4 in a bit. He got hurt in week 11.
I don't think you can trust AJ Green as a surefire number one receiver this week.
Yeah, like, I don't think he's playing a full complement of snaps.
Nope. Are you firing up CJ Uzoma as a tight end?
I think they just want to get...
No, they just wanted to say his name.
Uzoma? I'm not sure what it is.
They just want to get AJ Green to 1,000 yards, and that's it. Like, that's what he's back here for. And he only needs 36 yards to get there.
Yeah, what about Boyd LaFell? Like, are you downgrading them big time if Green is healthy or playing?
I don't think
you want to start anybody in this game.
Jeremy Hill.
I think he's the one guy I feel most comfortable with.
And he stinks. We know he stinks, but he'll probably find the end zone.
Just give me a touchdown, baby. Yeah. It's all I care about. For the Texans, C.J. Fedorowicz could be back in this game, which is too bad. Ryan Griffin thing lasted 1 week, and he was good last week.
Yeah. Yep.
16 PPR points. Yeah. Like to see that. And Tom Savage run Texans offense here. DeAndre Hopkins gets a whole whack of targets when Savage, I love it.
15.
Savage comes in first drive down the field, gets the touchdown.
He actually threw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
Cradle dancing on the grave of Brock Osweiler.
So we're all back in on the DeAndre train. Like, we have no problem starting him this week after that one snippet of Tom Savage
targets and actually throwing the ball somewhat in his orbit as opposed to Osweiler, who couldn't even throw it close to him a lot of the time.
Ravens and the Steelers, 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Steve Smith was limited in practice on Thursday. Watch out for that. Jimmy Smith likely to miss out again.
That's bad.
Now time for who will have more fantasy points, Kenneth Dixon or Terrence West?
So can we listen back to last week's show and talk about how we love Terrence West?
Everybody did.
He scored a touchdown.
It wasn't just us.
He did score a touchdown, but yeah.
Can I read you this from the Baltimore Sun? Baltimore Sun beat writer doesn't believe the Ravens trust either Kenneth Dixon or Terrence West on third downs.
I saw that.
Dixon missed a critical block on third down Sunday, and Terrence West is Terrence West. So, okay, you guys have to pick one.
Dixon.
And which one of these wide receivers do you want against the Steelers for the Ravens? Which Raven wide receiver? Do you guys want me to tell you?
I think silence is pretty telling right now.
Fading all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ladarius Green is concussed.
Poor guy.
So he's probably not going to play in this game. I think you're playing the usual guy. I think if there's no Ladarius Green, then Eli Rogers does become a little bit interesting.
Yeah. Jesse James back as a red zone guy.
I'd rather not.
They'll Antonio yell Brown Heath after he catches a pass because they think he's Heath Miller.
Antonio Brown is in a massive blow up spot.
Yeah, here, agreed.
Broncos at the Chiefs. That's the Sunday night game. Justin Forsett did play more snaps than Devontae Booker last week, but both are pretty bad. I don't know. You guys tell me. I mean, I could see Denver scoring like 10 points in this game.
Yeah.
Well, Simeon had the three TDs against the Chiefs last time, but they're a different defense at home. I think they've not allowed more than 21 points in a while there at home.
Yeah. Justin Houston did not practice on Thursday. He's been dealing with some knee swelling, so watch out for that. For the Chiefs, what do we think here? Kelce, Hill, Jeremy Maclin, you know, against Denver.
Yeah.
Who do we think benefits the most out of this
Hill's
matchup?
Hill's snap share is way down since Maclin came back.
Kelce did have the big game against the Broncos.
Yeah, and so did Hill the last time, but he's only played 80 snaps in three games since he had his highest snap rate in Week 12 against Denver. So maybe they go back to him because they know he had success. But
he's like Taylor Gabriel. I mean, he's a specialty player, and they scheme ways to get him a big play every single game.
And if you guys want Spencer Ware this week, or have we finally all agreed Spencer Ware has just been bad?
He's an RB2 flex borderline type guy. It's really just been a disappointment.
You didn't make the final if you've been playing Spencer Ware lately.
All right, and then Monday night, Lions at the Cowboys. Looks like Matthew Stafford's going to wear that.
The Cowboys rest anybody here? Like,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I know they were game planning all week to have their guys in there.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
but they've already clinched. So
I think next week they'll definitely rest guys. Yeah. I don't know about this.
I will say if the game gets out of hand pretty early, then I think we could see Dak and Zeke out of the fourth quarter.
Sure. Yeah.
But do we see the Cowboys really blowing out this Lions team? Like, I don't think so. So
I just wonder if they limit Zeke's touches here because they've already clinched. Like, what's the sense in giving him 20-plus touches here?
Yeah, there's not much.
So there's no seedings to play for here for Dallas?
No, they're locked in.
They're locked in as the number one seed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wrinkle.
That's tough.
The Giants, if you're
like Zeke's carried you all year long. Yeah.
I think it's
Monday night, too.
I think it's getting too cute. But definitely I could see a fourth quarter that included Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden if they make both of them active, which they might not.
Like, you're counting on Zeke or Dez or Dak Prescott.
I once won a title because LaDainian Tomlinson was rested in the second half of a game.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. The guy carries you all year and then he rests in the second half of the championship game and you lose.
And who on the Detroit side of the ball do you guys want?
Golden Tate?
Golden Tate, yeah.
That's pretty much it, right? Yeah.
Eric Ebron, no thank you.
All right, well, that's it. Hopefully you are successful if you are still playing in your fantasy leagues, and we'll be back next week. We'll still preview the Week 17 slate for those who do play through Week 17. I know there's a bunch of leagues out there that do that, so we'll be here on New Year's Day. Josh won't be. Josh will be hammered somewhere, just completely drunk, but Dan and I will be gutting it out. We'll be here live along with producer Mark Boffo. So, good luck this week. We'll talk to you next week. A live show next Sunday on The Fantasy Show. See ya.